Please rise for the processional hymn number 7 in the other songbook. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together in Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. Please rise for the invocation and the Kyrie. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all, and also with you. Peace. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God and the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
The hymn of praise this morning is number 685 in the Red Book. Take my life that I may. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Please join me in the prayer of the day. O God, our defender, storms rage around us and cause us to be afraid. Rescue your people from despair, deliver your sons and daughters from fear, and preserve us in the faith of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
The first reading is from 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 9 to 18. At that place, he came to a cave and spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." He said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of the hosts. For the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking to take it away." Then the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint King Hazael as king over Aram. Also, you shall anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And you shall anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, as prophet in your place. Whoever escapes from the sword of Hazael, Jehu shall kill. And whoever escapes from the sword of Jehu, Elisha shall kill. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. The word of the Lord. The psalm is Psalm 85, verses 8 to 13, and we'll read it responsively. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak. Surely his salvation is at hand for those who fear him. Steadfast love and faithfulness will meet. Faithfulness will spring up from the ground. The Lord will give what is good. Righteousness will go before him. The second reading is from Romans chapter 10, verses 5 to 15. Moses writes concerning the righteousness that comes from the law, that the person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that comes from faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart, leading to righteousness, and one confesses with the mouth, leading. The scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who know the word of the Lord.
Gospel for today, the 11th Sunday after Pentecost, is from the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Matthew 14, 22 through 33. Immediately, he made the disciples get in the boat and go ahead to the other side. He dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up upon the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by waves, was far from land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately, Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and began sinking. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand, caught him, saying, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord. There are many sermons and books written about this particular gospel reading for today. It must be a favorite among ministers everywhere. It certainly is a familiar story to believers and those who listen. But here are but a few of the titles that I came across while I was researching. If you want to walk on the water, you have to get out of the boat. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Faith in rough waters. But the next two are my favorites. A Pedestrian's Guide to Water Walking. And The Art of Sinking Gracefully. What kept coming back again and again was the topic of faith and the miracle that Jesus on the water. But one minister had a little bit different view and wrote, "If there is a miracle worth savoring in this story, then it may not be that Jesus could walk on the water. After all, if Jesus is God, then his ability to walk on the water is no more surprising than our ability to walk up a flight of stairs. The miracle is not that Peter managed a few steps for a moment or two. No, the miracle is, when it's all said and done, while a soggy and chagrined Peter sputtered seawater out of his lungs and the boat continued to bob around in the dead of night, out in the middle of nowhere that winded, the disciples realized that no one less than God's own Son was sitting right there in front of them. So they worshiped him, and they believed." Keep in mind, this comes right after the feeding of the 5,000. These same disciples have seen many miracles before. He turned water into wine. He cast out demons. He healed countless sick, made the lame man walk, cured leprosy, and he's already calmed the sea one other time when they were all in the boat. But this time, Peter asks the questions, testing Jesus' validity. "If it is you, then command me to come to you on the water." We don't know how far Peter got before he started to sink, if a gust of wind knocked him off balance or a large wave was coming toward him, but suddenly his common sense, logic, and fear was too much, and gravity took over. You have to admire Peter. I know I do. He's an action man, a get out of my way and I'll fix it sort of guy, a jump in with both feet and then figure it out. He's always asking questions, coming up with ideas. He's brash, he's passionate, rushing into things, saying the quiet part out. Maybe that's why Jesus chose Peter to lead. It's Peter who dropped his nets on the other side of the boat after the night of catching zero fish. It's Peter who hikes up the Mount of Transfiguration while Jesus is talking to Moses and Elijah. Peter blurts out, "Hey, Lord, if you wish, I'll build three booths, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." I mean, really? Now? It is Peter who swears he will never deny Jesus, and Peter who falls asleep at Gethsemane. And today, it is Peter who sinks. Over and over again, he is the disciple who takes risks, great leaps of faith, and then stumbles just as often. But he continues to get up and brush himself off. His heart is on his sleeve. What you see is what you get. Impetuous, outspoken, a man who loves Jesus and lets him down. He deserves judgment, but receives grace. Even if you have never tried to walk on the water, you probably know what that felt like. Remember learning to ride a bike and stay in control? I ran into the chicken coop because I was afraid to turn. My sister saved me from drowning once. We were camping at Redfish. I was playing at the end of the dock, swinging. Oh, I was warned I was going to fall in, but I felt invincible. Sure enough, I fell. I remember how cold it was, and I couldn't breathe, and I felt helpless. Vic jumped in, grabbed me, and stood me up. The water was only a couple of feet deep. But in my panic, I knew I was going to die. It didn't help that everyone was laughing at me, so I loudly proclaimed, "I could have drowned all dead and gone, and you didn't care." Close calls, we all have them. Where did your cry for help go first? I used to always call to God and then thank him immediately after, but I always felt guilty about that, that maybe I used him on one call, but never really a close friend. So when Peter cries out, "Lord, save me," and Jesus does, reaching out his hand and catches him, he places him on the boat, and then those awful words follow. "O ye of little faith, why did you doubt?" Why are we so like Peter? One minute we feel we can walk on water. The next, the wind and waves are too much. We seem to obey and fear. We walk and sink. We believe and doubt. It's not like we do one or the other. We do both. And we do them at the same time. I think our doubts are part of being human. Maybe our doubts are in part to help us remember that our strength comes from God. Even a little bit of faith, Jesus said, is enough to move a mountain. One last thought. When we make our 911 calls to God, know that he hears it and that he is coming. But wouldn't it be better if we made more calls or text messages to him, just like you would to a good friend? If we learn to make more personal calls of prayers to God and talk to him about everything, even the small stuff, maybe we wouldn't need to dial 911 so often, because we would know he's already aware and there beside us every minute of every day and night. It helps to know who's in the boat with us, that the church is really the boat, and we're all in the same storm waiting for Jesus to calm the sea.
The hymn of the day is number 756 in the red hymnal, "Eternal Father, Strong to Save." Please rise for the confession of faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, resurrection of and the life everlasting. Amen. With bold trust in God's unfailing provision, we pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. We pray for the servants of your gospel in every place, that your word may be heard. Where your voice is scorned and your people persecuted, strengthen the church in its faithful witness. Merciful God, for this world that you have created, that all life may flourish, preserve biodiversity in all its variety and help ecosystems to survive the extremes of a change. Move our hearts with compassion to join in this work. Merciful God, for leaders of towns, states, nations, and organizations, and all who are in positions of authority, that they lead with justice and integrity. Teach us to respond with Christ-like mercy to all who are afraid or in danger. Merciful God, for those who struggle amid the storms of life, that they may find peace and hope in your loving presence. Comfort any who are lonely and grieving and all who suffer, especially those we lift up to you in our heart. Merciful God, for this congregation and its ministries, that they reflect your love and life amid a turbulent world. Guide council members, elders, and other church leaders with your still, calm voice. Merciful God, receive our prayer. We give thanks for the faithful who have gone before us. Guide us in our earthly journey, that we may one day join them in your eternal kingdom. Merciful God, receive our prayers and answers, O God, as you have promised. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord.
And also with you.
Please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated.
Something that I learned this week, and it's about, because it was fair week, wasn't it, Victoria? Wasn't it, Jackson? Yeah, we were at the fair, we were crazy. There was a few kids that were a little extra fair, right? Yeah? And actually, over there, and they were by the barn, and people, businesses in town had brought big buckets of bottles of water, huh, Jackson? They had big buckets of bottles. These little boys, and it's really a fun thing to do. They take the bottles out and then they jump on them. And the cap shoots off and water goes everywhere. Right? Did you do that? And I said to them, you know, guys, this is a lot of fun, but for us to not be so. But, I said to them, and Wayne Jackson, all these bottles down here is a problem. It was a problem. Why? Do we know? Why were all those bottles laying on the grass a problem? Because it was a mess. Yeah, it was a mess. And I said, why was the solution to the problem? He started gathering up the bottles, and he put them in the garbage. I was so proud of him. I was so proud of him at that very moment that I knew that leader, that solution. Alrighty? Always be the solution.
Good morning. Worship service at St. John's Lutheran Church, American Falls, Idaho, this morning. Today in the church year is the 11th Sunday after Pentecost. We especially welcome all of you who are visiting with us in person today and those who are worshiping with us by listening to the radio station or the internet broadcast. Happy birthday today to Deborah Boomer. Happy anniversary today to Bo and Ashley Wunsuk. Happy birthday this week to Teresa Polson, Debbie Erickson, Linda Blaker, and Megan Reed. Happy anniversary this week to Dale and Mary Moracle and Tyson and Lisa Ruff. We are refreshing our birthday and anniversary list. Please get in touch with Lisa if you'd like to be added to the list. Are there any other announcements or corrections? Jackson, would you like to come take the offering?
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love, through the one who gave us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Now the benediction. The Lord bless and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. The recessional hymn is number 763 in the Red Hymnal. My life flows on in endless song. Go in peace, serve the Lord.